The Lord Woman is Elijah David Minister, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is February 11, 2017, hours 8 hours 15, 2020. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, Just When I Need Him Most. Just when I need Him, Yahshua is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Yahshua is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burden pleasures anew, just when I need Him. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, Yahshua is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long, put on my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, I need Him most. Just when I need Him, is my heart answering when upon Him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, just when I need Him most, Yahshua is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need Him most. Parts 7, it says, we're in Prophets and Kings, Captivity and Restoration. By Ellen G. White, we're on page 196, and we're in the subject on Jehoshaphat. It says, from this disastrous battle, Jehoshaphat returned unto Jerusalem. As he approached the city, the prophet Jehu met him with reproof. Shouldst thou help the unrighteous and love them that hate the Yahweh? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Yahweh. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek Yahweh. 2 Chronicles 19:2-3. The latter years of Jehoshaphat's reign were largely spent in the strengthening of the national and spiritual defenses of the Judah. He went out again through the people from the Beersheba to the Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers, verse 4. One of the important steps taken by the king was the establishment and maintenance of the efficient courts of the justice. He set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and in the charge given them, he urged, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Yahweh, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Yahweh be upon you, take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with Yahweh or Elohim, no respect to the persons, for nor taking of gifts. Verses 5 to 7. The judicial system is perfected by the finding of a court of the appeal at Jerusalem, where Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of Yahweh and for the controversies. Verse 8. The king exhorted these judges to be faithful. Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Yahweh, faithfully and with a perfect heart. He charged them, and what cause soever shall come unto you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against Yahweh, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Yahweh, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Yahweh shall be with the good. Verses 9 to 11. And his careful safeguarding of the rights and liberties of his subjects, Jehoshaphat emphasized the consideration that every member of the human family receives from the Yahweh of the justice, who rules over all. Yahweh standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, and those who are appointed to act as judges unto him are to defend the poor and fatherless. They are to do justice to the afflicted and needy, and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Psalms 82, 1, 3, and 4. Toward the close of Jehoshaphat's reign, the kingdom of the Judah was invaded by an army before whose approach the inhabitants of the land had reason to tremble. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Tidings of this invasion reached the king through a messenger who appeared with the startling word, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of the Syria, and behold, they be in Hazrazon, Tamar, which is Engedi." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 and 2. Jehoshaphat was a man of courage and valor. For years he had been strengthening his armies and his fortified cities. He was well prepared to meet almost any foe, yet in this crisis he put not his trust in the arm of flesh. Not by disciplined armies and fenced cities, but by a living faith in the Yahweh of Israel, could he hope to gain the victory over these heathen who boasted of their power to humble Judah in the eyes of the nations. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Yahweh, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Yahweh. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Yahweh. Standing in the temple court before his people, Jehoshaphat poured out his soul in prayer, pleading Yahweh's promises with confession of Israel's helplessness. O Yahweh Elohim of our fathers, he petitioned, art not thou Yahweh in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our Elohim, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it unto the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built the sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, saying, sanctuary for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or a famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. See, there's that name. And there's his presence. and cry to thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our Elohim, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Verses 3-12. With confidence Jehoshaphat could say unto Yahweh, our eyes are upon thee. For years he had taught the people to trust in the one who in the past ages had so often interposed to save his chosen ones from utter destruction, and now, when the kingdom was in peril, Jehoshaphat did not stand alone. All Judah stood before the Yahweh with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Verse 13, unitedly they fasted and prayed. Unitedly they besought the Yahweh to put their enemies to confusion, that the name of the Yahweh might be glorified. Keep not thou silence, O Yahweh. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Yahweh. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden one. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in the remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and Ishmaelite, and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarim, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as the Jabin, at the brook of Kishon. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. Then that men may know that thou, whose name alone is the Yahweh, art the Most High over all the earth. Psalms 83. As the people joined with their king and humbling themselves before Yahweh, and asking him for the help, the Spirit of Yahweh came upon the Jahaziel, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, and he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith Yahweh unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but Yahweh's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Sit yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of Yahweh with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. So Judah is the people, and they have their cities outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the leaders live, and 10% of, as 10% of the population lives in Jerusalem. So it says, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Yahweh will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Yahweh, worshiping the Yahweh. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Yahweh Elohim of Israel with a loud voice on high. Early in the morning they rose and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. As he advanced to the battle, Jehoshaphat said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Yahweh your Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Yahweh, and that should praise the beauty of the holiness. 2 Chronicles 20:14-21. These singers went before the army, lifting their voices in praise unto Yahweh for the promise of the victory. It was a singular way of going to battle against the enemy's army, praising Yahweh with singing and exalting Yahweh of Israel. This was their battle song. They possessed the beauty of holiness. If more praising of Yahweh were engaged, and now hope and courage and faith was steadily increased, and would not this strengthen the hands of the valiant soldiers who today are standing in the defense of the truth? Yahweh set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower and the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Verses 22-24. Elohim was the strength of Judah in this crisis, and he is the strength of his people today. We are not to trust in princes or to sit men in the place of Yahweh. We are to remember that human beings are fallible and erring, and that he who has all power is our strong tower of the defense. In every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is his. His resources are limitless, and apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. Save us, O Yahweh, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. 1 Chronicles 16:35. Laden with the spoil, the armies of Judah returned with the joy, for Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came unto Jerusalem with palstries and harps and trumpets unto the house of Yahweh. 2 Chronicles 20:27-28. Great was their cause for the rejoicing, and the obedience unto the command, stand ye still and see the salvation of Yahweh, fear not nor be dismayed. They had put their trust wholly in Yahweh, and he had proved to be their fortress and their deliverer. Verse 17. Now they could sing with the understanding the inspired hymns of the David. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am the Yahweh. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Yahweh of the host is with us. The Elohim of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46. According unto thy name, O Yahweh, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of the righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. This Yahweh is our Yahweh forever and ever. He will be our God even unto death. Psalm 48:10-14. Through the faith of the Judah's ruler and of his armies, the fear of the Yahweh was on all the kingdoms of those countries. When they had heard that the Yahweh fought against the enemies of the Israel, so the realm of the Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his Elohim gave him rest. 2 Chronicles 20:29-30. The fall of the house of Ahab. The evil influence that Jezebel had exercised from the first over Ahab continued during the latter years of his life, and bore fruit in deeds of shame and violence such as have seldom been equaled in sacred history. There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of Yahweh when Jezebel his wife stirred up. Whom? Naturally, of a covetous disposition, Ahab strengthened and sustained in wrongdoing by Jezebel had followed the dictates of his evil heart until he was fully controlled by the spirit of selfishness. He took a brook. He could brook no refusal of his wishes. The things he desired, he felt should by right be his. This dominant trait in Ahab, which influenced so disastrously the fortunes of the kingdom under his successors, is revealed in an incident which took place while Elijah was still a prophet in Israel. Hard by the palace of the king was a vineyard belonging unto Naboth, a Jezreelite. Ahab set his heart on possessing this vineyard, and he proposed to buy it, or else to give in exchange for it another piece of land. Give me thy vineyard, he said unto Naboth, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth valued his vineyard highly because it had belonged to his fathers, and he refused to part with it. Yahweh forbid it me, he said unto Ahab, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. According unto the Levitical code, no land could be transferred permanently by sale or exchange. Every one of the children of Israel must keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Numbers 36:7. Naboth's refusal made the selfish monarch ill. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Jezebel soon learned the particulars and, indignant that anyone should refuse the request of the king, she assured Ahab that he need no longer be sad. Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel, she said. Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Ahab cared not by what means his wife might accomplish the desired object, and Jezebel immediately proceeded to carry out her wicked purpose. She wrote letters in the name of the king, sealed them with his signet, and sent them unto the elders and nobles of the city where Naboth dwelt, saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme Yahweh and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. The command was obeyed. The men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, did as Jezebel had written in the letters which she had sent unto them. Then Jezebel went to the king and bade him arise and take the vineyard, and Ahab, heedless of the consequences, blindly followed her counsel and went down to take possession of the coveted property. The king was not allowed to enjoy unrebuked that which he had gained by the fraud and bloodshed. The word of Yahweh came unto Elijah Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet the Ahab king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone, down to possess it, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith Yahweh, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And Yahweh further instructed Elijah to pronounce upon Ahab a terrible judgment. The prophet hastened to carry out the divine command. The guilty ruler, meeting the stern messenger of the Yahweh face to face in the vineyard, gave voice to his startled fear in the words, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Without hesitation, the messenger of Yahweh replied, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of Yahweh, Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity. No mercy was to be shown. The house of Ahab was to be utterly destroyed. Like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebath, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, Yahweh declared through his servant, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel, the Yahweh declared, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. When the king heard this fearful message, he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted, and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word Yahweh came unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. It was less than 3 years later that King Ahab met his death at the hands of the Syrian. Ahaziah, his successor, did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam. He served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as his father Ahab had done. 1 Kings 22:52-53, but judgments followed close upon the sins of the rebellious king, a disastrous war with Moab, and then an accident by which his own life was threatened, attested Elohim's wrath against him. Having fallen through a lattice in his upper chamber, Ahaziah, seriously injured, and fearful of the possible outcome, sent some of his servants to make inquiry of the Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether he should recover or not. The god of Ekron was supposed to give information through the medium of his priest concerning future events. Large numbers of people went to inquire of it, but the predictions they uttered and the information given proceeded from the prince of darkness. Ahaziah's servants were met by a man of Yahweh who directed them to return to the king with a message. Is it because there is no Yahweh in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus says the Yahweh, thou shalt not come down from the bed whither thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. Having delivered his message, the prophet departed. So the astonished servants hastened back to the king and repeated unto him the words of the man of the Yahweh. The king inquired, what manner of man was he? They answered, he was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. It is Elijah the Tishbite, Ahaziah exclaimed. He knew that if the stranger whom his messenger had met was indeed Elijah, the words of doom pronounced would surely come to pass. Anxious to avert, if possible, the threatened judgment to determine to send for the prophet, twice Ahaziah sent a company of soldiers to intimidate the prophet, and twice the wrath of Yahweh fell upon them in judgment. The third company of soldiers humbled themselves before Yahweh, and their captain, as he approached the Yahweh's messenger, fell on his knees for Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of Yahweh, I pray thee that my life and the life of these 50, my servant, be precious in thy sight. For the angel of Yahweh said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down and with him unto the king, and he said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of the Beelzebub, the Yahweh, the God of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel nor Yahweh in Israel to inquire of his word. Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed whither thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. During his father's reign, Hezekiah had witnessed the wondrous works of the Most High. He had seen the terrible evidence that Yahweh had given apostate Israel of the way in which he regards those who set aside the binding claim of his law. Hezekiah had acted as if these awful realities were but idle tales. Instead of humbling his heart before the Yahweh, he had followed after Baal, and at last he had ventured upon this, his most daring act of impiety. Rebellious and unwilling to repent, Hezekiah died, according to the word of Yahweh, which Elijah has spoken. For the history of the kings Hezekiah sin and his punishment has in it a warning which none can disregard with impunity. Men today may not pay homage unto the heathen gods, yet thousands are worshiping at Satan's shrine as verily as did the king of Israel. The spirit of the idolatry is rife in the world today. Although under the influence of the science and education, it has assumed forms more refined and attractive than in the days when Hezekiah sought to go unto the God of Ekron. Every day, as the sorrowful evidence of faith in the sure word of the prophecy is decreasing, and that in its stead of superstition and satanic witchery are captivating the minds of many. Today the mysteries of the heathen worship are replaced by the secret association and seances, the obscurities and wonders of the spiritualistic medium. The disclosures of these mediums are eagerly received by the thousands who refuse to accept light of the Elohim's word as through his spirit. Believers in the spiritism may speak with the scorn of the magicians of old, but the great deceiver laughs in triumph as they yield unto his arts under a different form. There are many who shrink with horror from the thought of consulting spirit medium, but who are attracted by more pleasing forms of the spiritism. Others are led astray by the teaching of the Christian Science and by the mysticism and theopathy and other oriental religion. For the apostles of nearly all forms of the spiritism claim to have power to heal. They attribute this power to electricity, magnetism, the so-called sympathetic remedies are unto Latin forces within the mind of man, and there are not a few, even in this Christian age, who go to these healers, instead of trusting in the power of the living Elohim and the skill of a well-qualified physician. The mother watching by the sick bed of her child exclaimed, "I can do no more. Is there no physician who has power to restore my child?" She is told of the wonderful cures performed by some clairvoyant or magnetic healer, and she trusts her dear one to his charge, placing it as verily in the hand of the Satan, as if he were standing by her side. In many instances, the future life of the child is controlled by a satanic power which is seen as impossible to break. Elohim had caused for the displeasure of Hezekiah's impiety. He had caused for it. What had he not done to win the hearts of the people of Israel and to inspire them with a confidence in himself? For ages he had been giving his people manifestations of the unexampled kindness and love. From the beginning, he has shown that he is the lights were with the sons of men, Proverbs 8:31. He had been a very present help unto all who sought him in sincerity. Yet now the king of Israel turned from Yahweh to ask help of the worst enemy of his people, proclaimed to the heathen that he had more confidence in their idols than in the Elohim of heaven. In the same manner do the men and women dishonor him whom they, when they turn from the source of the strength and wisdom to ask help or counsel from the powers of darkness. As if Elohim's wrath was kindled by the Hazaiah act, how does he regard those who have, having still greater light, choose to follow a similar course? Those who give themselves up to the sorcery of Satan may boast of the great benefits received. But this, does this prove their course to be wise or safe? What if life should be prolonged? What if temporal gain should be secured? Will it pay in the end to have a disregarded, to have disregarded the will of Yahweh? All such apparent gain will prove at last an irrevocable loss. We cannot with impunity break down a single barrier which Elohim has erected to guard his people from the Satan's power. As Hazaiah had no son, he was succeeded by Jehoram, his brother, who reigned over the 10 tribes for 12 years. Throughout these years, his mother, Jezebel, was still living, and she continued to exercise her evil influence over the affairs of the nation. Idolatrous customs were still practiced by many of the people. Jehoram himself wrought evil in the sight of Yahweh, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom, 2 Kings 3:2-3. It was during Jehoram's reign over Israel that Jehoshaphat died, and Jehoshaphat's son, also named Jehoram, ascended the throne of the kingdom of Judah. By his marriage with the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, Jehoram of Judah was closely connected with the king of Israel. And in his reign, he followed after Baal, like as he did the house of Ahab. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah there too. 2 Chronicles 21:6-11. For the king of Judah was not permitted to continue his terrible apostasy unreproved. The prophet Elijah had not yet been translated, and he could not remain silent while the kingdom of Judah was pursuing the same course that had brought the northern kingdom to the verge of ruin. For the prophet sent to Jehoram of Judah a written communication in which the wicked king read the awful words, "Thus saith Yahweh Elohim of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of the Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a horn, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will Yahweh smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness." In the fulfillment of this prophecy, the Yahweh stirred up again against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabian that were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house and his son also and his wife, so that there was none, never a son left him, save Jehoshaphat, Prince Azariah, the youngest of his sons. Not And after all this, the Yahweh smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease, and it came to pass in the process of time, at the end of 2 years, he died of the sore disease. And Hazael, that is Jehoahaz, his son reigned in his stead. Verses 12 to 19, 2 Kings 8, 24. Jehoram, the son of Ahab, is still reigning in the kingdom of Israel when his nephew Hazael came to the throne of Judah. Hazael ruled only 1 year, and during this time, influenced by his mother Athaliah, his counselor, to do wickedly. He walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Now, Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab. Now, remember that. 2 Chronicles 22, 3, 4, and 2 Kings 8, 27. Jezebel, his grandmother, was still living, and he allied himself boldly with Jehoram of Israel, his uncle. Hazael Judah of the Judah soon met a tragic end. The surviving members of the house of Ahab were indeed his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction, 2 Chronicles 22, 3 and 4. While Hazael was visiting his uncle at Jezreel, the prophet, Elisha was divinely directed to send one of the sons of the prophets to Ramoth Gilead to anoint Jehu king of Israel. The combined forces of Judah and Israel were at that time engaged in a military campaign against the Syrians of the Ramoth Gilead. Jehoram had been wounded in the battle and had returned unto Jezreel, leaving Jehu in the charge of the royal armies. And anointing Jehu, the messenger of the Elisha declared, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Yahweh, even over Israel. And then he solemnly charged Jehu with his special commission of heaven, thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master. Yahweh declared through his messenger that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezreel, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish. After he had been proclaimed king by the army, Jehu hastened to Jezreel, where he began his work of execution of those on those who had deliberately chosen to continue in the sin and to lead others into sin. Jehoram of Israel, Ahaziah of Judah, and Jezebel the queen mother, with all that remained of the house of Ahab and Jezreel, and all the great men and his kinfolks and his priests were slain, all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests dwelling at the center of Baal. Worship near Samaria was put to the sword, for the idolatrous images were broken down and burned, and the temple of Baal was laid in ruins. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel, 2 Kings 10, 11, 19, and 28. Tidings of this general execution reached Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter, who still occupied a commanding position in the kingdom of Judah. When she saw that her son, the king of Judah, was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. In this massacre, all the descendants of David who were eligible to unto the throne were destroyed, save one, a babe named Joab, whom the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest, hid within the precincts of the temple. For 6 years, the child remained hidden. So Athaliah apparently took over from the death of her husband that was king of Judah. She took over and started reigning. Of course, she only reigned 6 years until this last remaining child of David got 8 years old. And as soon as he got 8 years old, then Athaliah was killed and she was dethroned. For 6 years, the child remained hidden while Athaliah reigned over the land. Second Chronicles 22:10-12. At the end of this time, the Levites and all Judah, Second Chronicles 23:8, united with Jehoiada, the high priest, in the crowning and anointing the child Joash, and acclaiming him their king. And they clapped their hands and said, Yahweh saved the king. 2 Kings 11:12. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the unto the people into the house of Yahweh, 2 Chronicles 23:12. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with the trumpet. Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, Treason, treason! 2 Kings 11:14. But Jehoiada commanded the officers to lay hold of Athaliah and all her followers and lead them out of the temple unto a place of the execution where they were to be slain. Thus perished the last member of the house of Ahab. The terrible evil that had been wrought through his alliance with the Jezebel continued till the last of his descendants were destroyed. Even in the land of Judah, where the worship of the true Elohim had never been formally set aside, Athaliah had succeeded in seducing many. Immediately after the execution of the impenitent queen, all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and broke it down. His altars and his images broke they into pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan the priest of Baal before the altar. Verse 18. A reformation followed. Those who took part in the acclaiming Joash king had solemnly covenanted that they should by the Yahshua people, and now that the evil they should be the Yahweh's people, and now that the evil influence of the daughter of Joseph Baal had been removed from the kingdom of Judah, and the priest of Baal had been slain and their temple destroyed, all the people of the land rejoiced and the city was quiet. 2 Chronicles 23:16-21. Now I have some new light here to share with you. As Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, which were the rulers over the 10 tribes of Israel in the north, and she made an alliance with the kingdom of Judah, and Jezebel and Ahab's daughter Athaliah married the king of Judah. The king of Judah was killed by Ahab because he was evil. By Jehu. So Athaliah then took over the kingdom of Judah. Now she's a descendant of Ahab from the north, but she's down in the south now. She's running Judah, and she's trying to hold together. Well, likewise, in the Anatote, Brutus Johnson represented the antitypical Ahab's household and the antitypical Ahab from 1970 to 2003. Now, Brother Johnson sold himself to do evil in the sight of Yahweh, and he linked up with antitypical Jezebel, his wife, to carry out this evil injunction against the tribe of Judah. Okay, so now, Brother Johnson represented a prophet of the 10 tribes, Israel, in our day, at the Adventist Church, presiding over the tribe of Judah in the south. And so, when that time was up for changing of the guard in 2003, then that also brought to an end the terrible reign of terror and evil over the whole house of Israel, because Yahweh had commissioned Elijah to commission 3 people to destroy all the idols and evil influence out of the land of Israel, both of the northern 10 tribes and the Judah, the 2 tribes, southern tribes. So, we have an antitypical Elijah on the scene today with the same message. It's an antitypical message of what took place that I just read to you about, the house of Ahab house of Ahab came to us in 2003 at the Kermit, Texas, and the Antitype. That's the end of chapter 16. We can go right on into chapter 17. It says the call of Elisha. Yahweh had bidden Elijah, anoint another to be prophet in his stead. Elisha, son of Shaphath, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. 1 Kings 19:16. He has said, and in obedience unto the command, Elijah went to find Elisha. As he journeyed northward, how changed was the scene from what it had been only a short while before. Then the ground was parched, the farming districts unworked, for neither dew nor rain had fallen for 3.5 years. Now on every hand vegetation was springing up as if to redeem the time of the drought and famine. Elisha's father was a wealthy farmer, a man whose household were among the number that in a time of the almost universal apostasy had not bowed the knee to Baal. Theirs was a home where Elohim was honored and where allegiance unto the faith of the ancient Israel was the rule of the day, of the daily life. In such surroundings, the early years of Elisha were passed. In the quiet period of the country life, under the teaching of the Yahweh, and nature and the discipline of the useful work, he received the training in the habits of simplicity and of the obedience unto his parents and unto Yahweh that helped to fit him for the high position he was afterwards to occupy. For the prophetic call came unto Elisha while with his father's servants he was plowing in the field. He had taken up the work that lay nearest. He possessed both the capabilities of a leader among men and the meekness of one who was ready to serve. Of a quiet and gentle spirit, he was nevertheless energetic and steadfast. Integrity, fidelity, and the love and fear of Yahweh were his. And in the humble surround of the daily toil, he gained strength of the purpose and nobleness of the character, constantly increasing in the grace and knowledge while cooperating with his father in the home life duties. He was learning to cooperate with Yahweh. By the faithfulness and little things, Elisha was preparing for the weightier trust day by day. Through the practical experience, he gained a fitness for a broader, higher work. He learned to serve, and in learning this, he learned also how to instruct and lead. The lesson is for all. None can know what may be Elohim's purpose in his discipline, but all may be certain that faithfulness and little things is the evidence of fitness for the greater responsibility. Every act of the life is a revelation of the character, and he only who in the small duties proves himself a workman that needeth not be ashamed can be honored by Yahweh with the higher service. 2 Timothy 2:15. He who feels that it is of no consequence how he performs the smaller task proves himself unfit for a more honored position. He may think himself fully competent to take up the larger duties, but Elohim looks deeper than the surface. After test and trial, there is written against him the sentence, "Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting." His unfaithfulness reacts upon himself. He fails of gaining the grace, the power, the force of the character, which is received through the unreserved surrender. Because they are not connected with some directly religious work, many feel that their lives are useless, that they are doing nothing for the advancement of Yahweh's kingdom. If they could do some great thing, how gladly they would undertake it. But because they can serve only in a little, in the little things, they think themselves justified in doing nothing. In this, they err. A man may be in the active service of Yahweh while engaged in the ordinary everyday duties, while felling trees, clearing the ground, or following the plow. The mother who trains her children for Yahshua is as truly working for Yahweh as is the minister in the pulpit. Many long for the special talent with which to do a wonderful work, while the duties lying close at hand, the performance of which would make the life fragrant or lost sight of. Let such ones take up the duties lying directly in their pathway. Success depends not so much on the talent as on the energy and willingness. It is not the possession of the splendid talents that enables us to render acceptable service, but the conscientious performance of the daily duty. The contented spirit, the unaffected sincere interest in the welfare of others, and the humblest lot, true excellence may be found. The commonest task, wrought with the loving faithfulness, are beautiful in the Yahweh's sight. As Elijah divinely directed in the seeking a successor past the field in which Elisha was plowing, he cast upon the young man's shoulders the mantle of the consecration. During the famine, the family of Shaphat had become familiar with the work and mission of Elijah, and now the Spirit of Yahweh impressed Elisha's heart as to the meaning of the prophet's act. To him it was a signal that Elohim had called him to be the successor of Elijah. This brings in verse 10, this hour contacts us at the 11th hour call, and it's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this song, service now with a song. How great thou art!
Lord Yahweh, I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the golden thunder, the power to love, the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior, out to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, out to thee. How great thou art, great thou art. Through the woods and for this place I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in their tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and says my soul, I say you are to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And says my soul, I say you are to thee. How great thou art, great thou art. And when I say, and his son not spare me, send him to God, I scarce can take it in. There on the cross, my burden gladly bear me, he bled and died, he takes away my sin. And is my soul, my Savior, to thee I break the heart, I break the heart. This is my soul, my Savior, to thee I break the heart, I break the heart. When Yahshua shall come with the shout of acclamation, then take me home, for joy she shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and I proclaim my Yahweh. This is my soul, my Savior, to thee I break the heart, I break the heart. This is my soul, my Savior, to thee I break the heart.